1299, appoint Andrea Chiller to the Citizen Review Committee Advisory Board to the Independent Police Review, a division of the City Auditor's Office.
Okay, come on up, please. Thank you. Thank you for waiting as well.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. I want to thank you for taking us a little out of order. This is a really important issue you guys were dealing with previously. I'd like to speak a little bit about Ms. Chiller.
Constantine, put your name in the record.
Apologies, Mr. Mayor. Constantine Sevier, Director of the Independent Police Review. I am here to present Ms. Chiller to you for your approval to serve a 3-year term on the Citizen Review Committee, which serves as an advisory body to the city auditor and the police commissioner on police oversight issues. Ms. Chiller, as you can tell by the packet provided to you, is an outstanding candidate who will provide a community voice on a very important board.
Thank you. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor. Good morning, Council.
Do you have anything you want to add? Or obviously, you're here for questions if we have them. But
I'm just excited to serve. I think this is a great opportunity. I'm really excited to have been selected to serve the community in this way.
Great. Well, we depend so heavily on volunteers to do the work of the city, so thank you for being willing. Questions for Ms. Chiller or Mr. Sevier? Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Council.
So, we may have people here that want to speak on this item. Let's give them a chance to do that.
Two signed up to testify, Dan Handelman and Charles Johnson.
Okay, come on up. Good morning.
Morning, Mayor Hales, Mayor and members of Council. I'm Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch. And we're always happy to give our 2 cents about the Independent Police Review Division and the Citizen Review Committee. We don't have any objections to Ms. Chiller's appointment. I just want to point out that she's a former attorney, which now I've lost count of how many people in the CRC are former attorneys. She worked both as a public defender and assistant DA, which is, you know, we've always encouraged that people should see both sides who sit on the CRC. We are not, as many people think, anti-police. We are anti-police misconduct. And the CRC has been proving themselves to be able to make the good decisions based on the evidence that they're given at their hearings. We're having a lot of discussions about this at the stakeholder group that you set up to try to move forward the auditor's proposal. But I think that if you attended, or I know, Mayor, your staff attended the first meeting, I think the scope of the stakeholder group is too narrow. If we're going to change the system to be less Byzantine and meet the standards that the DOJ is expecting, I think I'm hoping that you can open it up. And particularly, there are parts of the existing ordinance that you're going to be considering that also need discussion other than the two that you've limited us to. So I'm hoping that you can consider more recommendations from that group. Moreover, three members of the Citizen Review Committee were sitting at the table at the last meeting, and you know there's only one member of Portland Cop Watch sitting at the table. And I didn't think that was very equitable. And one of the issues that came up was the question of how do we populate those panels that the CRC is going to be hearing cases in. And our proposal at CopWatch has been to include members of the Police Review Board citizen pool. And when I brought that up, one of the members of CRC shook their head at me because the people who were interviewed for those roles weren't told they might have to sit on some board other than the Police Review Board. And I think if we're going to be open to changing the process, we should be open to changing the process. And if the people got interviewed based on the old system, they have to be aware that a new system is coming in.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, that issue of the scope, is. I appreciate you raising that. We'll look at that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Charles Bridge Crane Johnson. And I think you know, Ms. Chiller may exceed some of the qualifications of people already serving on the CRC, but there's really no better context than right now to talk about the scope of the work of the CRC. And, of course, the main reason the CRC exists, regardless of what its technical charge is, it's to help improve community confidence in the police, primarily by having an avenue for citizens to look at alleged misconduct and pass judgment on that conduct. Now, within the CRC, which, as Mr. Handelman noted, may be more weighted towards lawyers than even our legislature in Salem, or even the Senate or the House of Representatives, we're beginning to have structural problems. When people who get arrested are not the same bell curve profile of normal Oregonians, meaning we hyper-arrest minorities, and then they go to a CRC, which does not really, you know, it's composed only of successful establishment people who have never been in challenging positions with law, you know, law enforcement. And we're making that situation worse and worse day by day here in Portland. We've had close to 100 people be no-complainted by the district attorney. Morally, some of those people should stand in a long line of 100 people at the independent police review and move that forward possibly to the Citizens Review Committee. So, Ms. Chiller, I don't want her to reconsider her volunteering, but there are some problems we're having societally, generally here, that we need to work on side by side with Ms. Chiller, not just in the context of the CRC.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Joe Wallace. I represent Individuals for Justice. We oppose his nomination not because of the person that's involved. It's because we ask ourselves this question. We are very bright people in this room. We have one lawyer that's present. There's another lawyer that's absent, AWOL. And we have a lot of lawyers in the room. Why are we in such a mess? Why do progressive, bright people, and why are we in such a mess? Our police department is still under investigation. COAB is almost non-existent, trying to survive, and you guys are trying to kill it. And yet we keep doing the same thing. You know the cliche? You keep doing the same thing over and over again. It's a sign of insanity if you expect a different result. And you keep doing it over and over again. There should have been, and there should be, on every committee and every commission, a lot more public input. We get them here at your city council where you don't want to embarrass them, so we're really handicapped of people that come here to volunteer their time, good people, and we oppose them because of the protocols, because of what you do, not what they do. So we're asking you to not to make any more decisions unless you redo the public input of who this person is, why they want to serve on the committee. We want to hear that. And we think we deserve that. And also, I'm telling you, dropping it down to 2 minutes of testimony in the main event today is obnoxious, and it is just arrogant.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. All right. Anyone else on this item? So then it's a resolution. We can take a vote, please.
Prince.
Thank you for volunteering to serve. Aye.
Fish.
Ms. Chiller, I just was looking through your application, and a couple of things jumped out at me. One of them was something you did in law school that we encourage residents of Portland to take advantage of, which is you went on a ride-along with a police officer to get a firsthand sense of how officers, in this case in New Orleans, handle their job. It is, in my experience, one of the best ways to learn about policing on the ground, community policing, and I'm pleased that you did that. I also want to quote something you said at the end of your application, because I think it speaks very highly of you and your values. You closed by saying, "We are all better off when we can hold each other accountable for our actions, and having members of the community weigh in on these difficult questions gives the community a voice and ultimately helps the police serve and protect the public." I think that's very well said, and I think we're lucky that someone with your background and your values is willing to take on this important assignment. And today I'm very pleased to support your application. Thank you. Aye.
Councilman.
Thank you, Ms. Chiller, for your willingness to serve. And I was impressed with your detailed responses to all the various questions of the application. You put some thought into it, so thank you. Aye.
Hale.
Thank you, and good luck. Aye. All right, thanks very much, folks. Now we'll return again to 1298 and continue down the list there. Yes, and we have some families with young children, so we're going to show them the courtesy of giving them a chance to speak with behavior under control and much appreciated by mom and everyone else. So thank you.
Very impressive parents.
Yeah, that's
bring them up for civic lesson.
Get extra credit just for showing up with this crew. So thank you. Oh, we've lost a quorum. Sorry, we're going to get somebody back in the room here in a moment. So,
why don't you tell us who you brought with us?
Hi, I'm Kendra Van Note, and this is my 3-month-old Alexander, Vivian, and Thomas. And we are actually visiting the beautiful city of Portland from Bend, Oregon today.
Wow, well, that's great. Well, welcome, yeah. And sorry we momentarily lost the ability to do business here as soon as we reacquire one or more of our colleagues who probably will be back quickly.
That's really great that you took the time to come, even though you don't live here. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well done. You've been behaving very well.
There we are. We're back in action, so welcome. Please proceed.
Hello. Hi, I'm Kendra Van Note. So thank you for having me, Mayor and Commissioners. We are visiting today from Bend, Oregon, and we came actually today to testify for the Energy Performance Score. We believe that Portland really has an opportunity to lead the state in this measure, especially for somewhere like Bend, Oregon, which is the fastest or second fastest growing metropolitan area in the state. I think that Portland leading the charge in this will help us in Bend consider an option very similar to this. We've already passed a climate ordinance, our city council did earlier this fall. And so I think that having you folks pave the way here on a state level can really make an impact for those on the east side, because we value energy efficiency in Bend. I work with homeowners as well as students, AmeriCorps programs, educating them on the importance of energy efficiency, energy retrofits, energy audits, doing mock audits with AmeriCorps teams. And I think this is just a really great win-win, and I really applaud you folks for leading the way here in Oregon, and I hope you vote yes on it today. So thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you for coming with your family. Thank you. Okay, anyone else with young children that would like to take that courtesy? If not, we'll go back to the list, please.
All right, next, please. Michael Heumann, Samuel Pastrick, Alan Lee. They'll be followed by Michelle Gila, Steve Strode, and Terry Parker.
Welcome. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning, and thank you very much for the opportunity to speak. My name is Michael Heumann. I'm an epidemiologist in environmental and occupational public health, and I'm also here today on behalf of the Metropolitan Alliance for Common Good, or MACG. I'm here today to voice my strong support for your approving and rapidly implementing the proposed policy. I think this is really critical and long overdue. Energy savings, operating costs, reduced operating costs, and jobs are not the only benefits of this policy. Energy retrofits also result in benefits for human health and for the families who live in these dwellings, and I think it's an important consideration that we pay attention to. Today's energy efficiency measures more effectively control airflow in homes, removing moisture that can build up in otherwise uncontrolled airflows in homes that can lead to mold and mildew problems, which is associated with increased breathing problems for the occupants, such as asthma, as well as more frequent respiratory illnesses. This is also linked to an issue of what we call part of the social determinants of health, especially true for low-income families who have to decide between making needed repairs in homes, doing the weatherization work, or even buying food. And having to make those decisions puts them in an unfair position. And so we know that oftentimes low-income people need to tell the kids to put on, or the elderly to put on another jacket and live with an uncomfortable situation, as opposed to the health improvements that were alluded to by Tom Kelly earlier today. So this policy is an important first step, but I urge you to go very quickly after its adoption on to meet the next step, and that is because this is so important for low-income families that I think that it's critical that we also extend this policy in the very near future to home rentals, especially multifamily situations where the homeowner or the building owner does not bear the cost of the heating and cooling, but the tenants do. And this is really going to be critical to find incentives to help make that transition happen. And because I'm over time, I'll stop there. But thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your testimony. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Sam Pastrick. I'm here with Oregon Citizens Utility Board. I made some strategic cuts in out of respect of time, so I'll try to get through it pretty quickly here. So CUB is an advocate, consumer advocate, and longtime energy efficiency champion. We've supported this concept for years and years and years. I mean, basically what it comes down to for us is that purchasing a home is one of, if not the single most important investment either an individual or household can make. Therein, CUB believes that home buyers need good information. They need good information about this investment to make smart choices. A score, an energy score, is a prime example of, you know, this good information. So a home, like any building, it's a system. It's a system of components. And to improve the system, you need to understand it, and that's really important. That's really the primary goal of this policy. So offering home buyers clear information to improve their decision-making ability, it's good public policy. It's common sense, really, from our end. You know, I think I'll close basically by saying that the city of Portland and the state also, you know, we have a really long track record of accomplishment leading the fight against climate change, and this proposed policy is another, you know, important leadership example. And this has already been said, but I want to say it again. You know, with mounting uncertainty around the future of climate policy, at least at the federal level, it really is now probably more important than ever, in CUB's opinion, to continue that policy leadership at the local level through the city of Portland. So thank you, and I encourage a yes vote.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Alan Lee. I've been working in energy efficiency area doing research and doing consulting work for about 30 years now. Worked on the first building energy codes in California, and been working on looking at rating systems similar to the kind of program that you're talking about here today. A lot of the arguments you're hearing against these approaches are the same ones I've heard on and on again and again from the building community and the real estate community, and time and again they've been shown to be invalid and that the market adjusts. It's really critical, I think, to look at the residential sector because it is about 20% of the greenhouse gas emissions in the city. And without tackling both the new and existing buildings, I think it's really no hope for the city to actually accomplish its goals. I worked with the city about 6 or 7 years ago, the first time that this attempt was made to try to get a residential measure in place. And we ran into a lot of the same arguments. I think it's great what the Bureau has done to take back the information to look what's been done in other cities around the country to examine the asset rating score as well as the energy bill disclosure approach. And I think they made a wise decision to go with the asset rating score. There are cities, Boulder, for example, that applies it to new construction in Santa Fe, at least just from a little research that I did. So it can apply to both sectors, and I think compatibility across new and existing buildings is really important. And existing buildings sales are about 10 times what the sales are of new homes, so it's not going to work just to single it out and apply it to one portion of the housing market. The asset rating approach is something that's becoming more and more common through the building codes. Actually, there's an energy rating index that's becoming incorporated in the national building model codes, and that's something I think will be very compatible with what's being proposed. So I urge you to adopt this policy.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. Okay, let's take the next three.
Next three, Michelle Gila, Steve Strode, Terry Parker. They'll be followed by Tim Miller, David Van't Hoff, and Ashley Henry.
Okay. Good morning.
Morning.
Whoever's ready, go right ahead.
Okay. All right, thank you. So Steve Strode from Portland. I'm also a realtor. And thanks for allowing me to speak here this morning. So while I'm here to voice my opposition to the proposed mandate, I wanted to be 100% clear that really support the 2015 Climate Action Plan. And you know, our industry has done an excellent job of educating the consumer when it's in their best interest. Home inspections are now commonplace. In cities like Portland, sewer line inspections are now the norm because we want our consumers protected. More recently, radon inspections are now the norm, and they've been the standard of practice in our transactions. Why? Not because the health department told us we should do it, but because the consumer outreach and education works. We are the trusted advisors in the transaction, and as regulations have made transactions more complex, we are trusted even more. You know, I look around the room and I saw all the right to know stickers. Absolutely, we have a right to know now. It's part of the transaction. We can write things into our inspection addenda that ask for things like this. So that right to know exists. We 100% support the right to know. A troubling premise with the whole proposal is that consumers, without additional bureaucracy, don't see the value or importance of energy efficiency on its own. That's totally false. Consumers are rational. But they know when they're buying an older home that they have to make improvements and updates. Their home inspections give them that roadmap already. But right now, our pocketbooks are just stretched. You know, we are in a period of high home prices, and buyers who buy older, non-updated homes typically make improvements when their pocketbooks allow. So one project at a time, one thing at a time, they take it off. So an energy score really will have no practical effect. Moreover, after the first incremental change, that score is immaterial. So for that reason alone, the score should never be placed on public-facing sites like portlandmaps.com. Others will use that data, such as appraisers, which was spoken to earlier, or realtors looking to complete market analyses, but that data will be unreliable and valuations will be skewed. And with the income exception in the proposal, the city will be making sellers tell the world on Portland Maps their income level. That has no business being on a public-facing website. So we've already heard about the unintended consequences. I can skip that paragraph that Evan talked about. And again, I agree the goals to reduce emissions are essential, but this doesn't set metrics for accountabilities as well. It criticizes the free market for prior attempts, but also relying on the free market to make the right decision going forward just by giving this information. So I encourage you to vote no. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good morning. Mr. Stroh, can I?
Yes.
You said that somehow this requires an income level to be disclosed?
Well, if you're qualifying for the exemption, you will not have the score on the site. I'm sorry, you will have the score on the site. You're telling the world, I'm income disadvantaged.
Okay. Thank you. We'll check on that question because this issue of disclosure has come up quite a bit.
So yeah, exactly. Thanks.
Good morning.
Hi, I'm Michelle Gilla. I'm a realtor here in Portland as well and also speaking to ask you to vote no on this mandate. I'm a huge proponent of climate goals and making those goals very important in my own life. I've had energy audits on all of the homes that I own here in Portland. In the interest of time, Steve, Evan, Jane have all made most of the points I was going to make today as well. I would say that my experience with them, with the audits themselves, is that they do become obsolete pretty quickly. And so one of my questions on this mandate is, at what point prior to a sale is this mandatory? If you have a buyer who buys a house, they're relying on a score that a seller had done 2 years ago. The buyer turns around and sells and is using that same score. At what point are we in a problem situation with disclosure to the next buyer? And, of course, I worry about myself, my business, my role in passing on information that may not be valid anymore. And my other large concern is, as well, the poverty situation being posted on a public website. People take advantage of poverty all the time. We don't need that for our homeowners. I would also like to say that I would like this removed from the real estate transaction altogether. I think that we need efficiency focus for all our homeowners in Portland, not just those that are transacted.
Okay. Thank you very much. Good morning.
Thank you. Terry Parker, Northeast Portland. As we all know, the city genuinely conveys its appreciation when the federal government or the state passes legislation that includes unfunded mandates. Sarcasm aside, that is just what you are proposing here for people that, for whatever reason, want to sell their homes. Just like with a new car or appliance, it may make sense to require a home energy audit or score on a new house when the builder can claim a tax deduction. However, just like when purchasing a used car where the fuel consumption can vary from the original mileage sticker or a used appliance that has no sticker, any home energy scoring responsibility for the previously lived in homes needs to be the responsibility of the purchaser as opposed to the seller homeowner. Most banks require an inspection of property to get a loan. Any energy scoring system should be part of that inspection, not something separate and not dictatorial, unfunded mandate assessed on the homeowner seller. If the city council chooses to become a dictator in this realm, the city also needs to cover the cost to individuals and families for any associated fee that comes with the mandate. If the buyers of previously lived-in homes are responsible for the inspection fee, recouping the money from the city can be done by allowing the same amount to be deducted from the property taxes following the purchase. What is being proposed here is yet another government dictatorial mandate, required fee that will hit people of modest middle-class incomes the hardest. Blue-collar workers who see their jobs going away, the incomes not keeping up with inflation and taxes, fear the trend for more government intrusion, regulation, and fees continuing, and therefore likely voted for Trump. The bottom line problem here is a growing number of people that are being squeezed in between the bread of the affluent and entitlement sandwich. This includes senior citizens on fixed incomes that feel their views are no longer represented in government. The city needs to fund any home energy audit. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. Okay. Next three.
Next, please. Tim Miller, David Van Top, Ashley Henry. They'll be followed by Cynthia Chase, Rick Dodge, Jeff Papazian.
Ashley. Oh, okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Tim Miller, and I lead a nonprofit called Inhabit. You've heard of us a couple times today. We help people improve their homes. Inhabit strongly supports this proposed policy for climate, health, equity, and job creation benefits. But I'm also here due to a personal experience. I was really troubled to read alarmist and unfortunately incorrect information promoted online. The message about this policy said, the bill is being pushed through with laser speed and will possibly require costly repairs to comply with arbitrary standards. The Oregon Association of Realtors and your local Portland Metropolitan Association of Realtors have spent thousands of dollars in our attempt to inform the public. There are some misleading issues in there. Was this pushed through with laser speed? No. The Bureau already explained the timeline and all the work that went into this. Would this require costly repairs? No, there are no repairs required in this policy. Does this policy use arbitrary standards? No. The policy uses US DOE standards improved by state law through 2801 and other work. So these misconceptions created fears and likely prompted many of the concerned people that are here today. So the policy should not be stopped by misunderstandings or misinformation, certainly. Number two, I'd like to mention that we talked about making sure that this doesn't have a negative impact on lower income members of our community. Let's also bear in mind that this actually can create an opportunity for wealth building for many members of our community. The FHA, the VA, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac all have lending solutions for lower income folks to be able to make investments in their home, and many of those are tuned to energy efficiency measures to provide extra benefits. Finally, the notion that this information is the same as you would get in an inspection is simply not the case. The typical home inspection doesn't address all these energy issues, and it's not being done by a certified energy expert. So the policy certainly should not be killed on those misconceptions. For the sake of efficiency, continued progress toward housing affordability and stability, and other benefits, I urge you to support this policy.
So since you have a lot of expertise in this, let me just pose a question that I'm still thinking about.
Yes, sir.
A home inspection turns up in the report a notation that the windows have failed, okay. Which would be okay. Relevant to energy efficiency.
Okay.
The energy audit does not so find, or vice versa, and you have a discrepancy, because that's an example of something that could be found in a home inspection that might be relevant to the energy score. What is the consumer's option in terms of reconciling a discrepancy of that kind?
Right. So the consumer will have one of the important distinctions between the inspection and this work, this energy assessment, is that it's essential that the assessment happen at the time of listing, not later in the process at the time of inspection, because the assessment has to be part of the consideration for the buyer. That makes it part of the consideration for an appraiser, and that's what builds it into the value of the home to address the market now. If we don't do inspections until or assessments until later, it'll be 10 years from now until those energy assessments will become part of the market. So to your point, though, about a difference between an inspection and an energy assessment, inspection's more likely to point out a broken window, but it's not going to tell you that it's a single-pane, inefficient window. If there's differential information there, the homeowner would have already seen the incorrect information if they disagreed with it at the time of assessment early on. So that can be corrected through the process of listing their home and working their home and getting this report as part of the buyer's consideration set. There are a number of quality control measures baked into this policy. We can't use the US DOE score unless we have quality control measures baked in that Joan, who's on the video, requires. The 2801 law locally here in the state also requires levels of quality and certification for the inspectors. There's also data review required of these scores so that we can look across the scores and see that my friend Dave over here, who's an assessor, let's pretend, is scoring everybody high or mischaracterizing everybody's windows or doing something out of the norm. So there are data-driven quality control measures as well to drive quality and assurance into this system.
Great. Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Dave Antoff. I'm the Acting State Director for Climate Solutions, and thank you for letting us to come in and testify in support of this this important policy. As you've heard, the importance of local and regional leadership on climate change has never been greater. Over the next 4 years, there's going to be just an increased heightened focus on the needs for local action. And so for the City of Portland to be taking a leadership role on something, you know, this has been done nationally, but this is the first, I think, real stab at it in the Pacific Northwest. As we just heard, hopefully it will be a beacon for others to see that this works, it makes sense, and people want it as it becomes more popular or more utilized. We want to thank Mayor Hales and council members for your great leadership over the last couple of years. The fossil fuel infrastructure policy is a huge step forward along the same lines of kind of showing the way that a jurisdiction can hopefully build support well beyond its borders more regionally. As Senator Denbrough, I think, noted, the need for energy efficiency focus is very high right now. The state has done some good stuff on renewable energy infrastructure. We've passed renewable portfolio standards at the state level to try and increase renewables in our system. We've been working on energy efficiency for a long time, and long time had been recognized as national leaders on energy efficiency, but that really is starting to erode and go away, as you also heard. Just on codes, there's misperceptions that Oregon is still a leader on energy efficiency and codes. We're not. We're falling behind. And that's a focus at the state level where we're trying to work with allies to empower cities like Portland to be able to have increased energy efficiency in the codes. We need to take a major step forward on that for new construction. But for existing buildings, homes, this is just a really important tool for increasing awareness of how energy impacts people's budgets and their bottom line. And just providing that tool, we've seen from some of the jurisdictions that have the short term that we've seen where it's been in place, it has resulted in an increase in energy efficiency investments in homes and an improvement of the quality of those homes. So it's I think it's got a proven track record. The costs are very from the sale of a home in the Portland market right now seems to be very reasonable in terms of how to integrate this into the system. We just strongly support moving forward with this policy. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both very much. Thank you. Okay. Take a few more.
Next up, please, Cynthia Chase, Rick Dodge, Jeff Papazian. They'll be followed by Kelly Haynes, Jeff Cole, and John Morris.
Good morning.
Hi.
Okay, submit written testimony. Thank you. Go ahead, please.
My name is Cynthia Chase. I've been a real estate broker in Portland, Oregon for 18 years. My primary business is residential, and my primary business area is the city of Portland, where I also reside and own rental properties. I've been active on the Sustainability Committee of the Portland Metropolitan Association of Realtors over the last couple years. I'm not a climate change denier. I believe in making properties more energy efficient and have systematically done that on the property we live in and the properties we operate as rentals. I often recommend energy upgrades to buyers as they look at properties. I never have recommended energy efficient upgrades to sellers, as I know they are looking to sell and that those upgrades will not directly benefit them. I do not see requiring sellers to provide an energy score to buyers as part of a sale as a good idea. A new property owner is very often not in the position to do energy upgrades at the beginning of their tenure in the property. These reports may well be shelved until later, as in much later in the homeownership process, and may well need updating, which means more costs to that property owner. Instead, I propose that the city work on these very admirable goals in different ways, and I have a few suggestions for that. One, instead of a requirement for sellers, why not approach buyers as new homeowners with education and incentives after the sale is closed? Two, why not help current homeowners complete energy upgrades? I would especially like to see us focus on our elderly, low-income homeowners who pay energy bills on drafty houses. Why not focus more resources on helping them? Three, new homeowners and longtime homeowners often struggle with wanting to have good-looking yards and not using chemicals. We could help them by offering more education and, again, some incentives for doing more sustainable gardening, which can include growing fruits and vegetables and using more natives in our landscaping. Several organizations exist to further these goals, including Master Gardeners through the OSU Extension Service. I'm a new Master Gardener this year, and partnering with them to reduce greenhouse gases through gardening would be a positive change for our city. Number four, I'm about 60% serious here. Here's an out-of-the-box suggestion. Why not ban gasoline-powered leaf blowers in the city, reducing pollution and noise all at the same time? This time of year, it's an especially apropos idea to improve our city. Let's not get stuck in one way of thinking to solve these problems. Adding an energy score in real estate transactions seems easy and helpful to some, but I'm not one of them. If it's mandated, real estate brokers will work with our sellers to do it, but I don't think it's going to produce the change you hope. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Morning. I'm Rick Dodge, and I am a realtor also and have been for 30 years. And I'm a late or an early baby boomer, and feel that since this has come about, a lot of discussion has been made with the public. And I have an electric blower to tell you where I'm at. But what the sentiment out there is that the government doesn't have a right to know. The buyers do. They agree. And I wish today, as a form that we have, that we give to prospective buyers of all the inspections, just a myriad of inspections that they can have on a property that would cover everything that we're talking about today. And if I'm wrong, somebody can come correct me on this. And I get the feeling here that there is perhaps another way of doing this. And Dodd-Frank gave us plenty of regulations to empower consumers. And as the loan officers has mentioned before, the issue of the issues that are involved with buying and selling a house are a big burden on a lot of people out there already, let alone an energy audit, which seems to have be problematic. And I personally have used Energy Trust because they have an incentive through their marketing and education, which I think we don't see enough of out there, is the way to go on this instead of the intrusion that, again, this is what the public that we're talking to every day they're sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. I appreciate my 2 minutes or maybe less than 2 minutes of fame. My name is Berenice Lopez. I am a business owner of Home Energy Life Performance Group, also known as Help Group, Inc., a home performance contracting firm. I also own a company called Moving Ready, LLC. It's a residential general contractor that specializes in getting homes ready for sale or for rent, ready for the market. It might be worth noting that I'm also a licensed real estate agent and a property management agent. So I'm here today as a very strong supporter of this policy. My company alone since 2008 have retrofitted and saved energy in over 1,700 homes. More than half were low-income families or medium-income families, and created more than 40 full-time sustainable jobs. So like you said, Major, home energy scoring is a win-win for all. See, some realtors here in this room might argue that this policy is unnecessary, costly, intrusive, and burdensome. And I get it, because we have to do a little bit more work ourselves in order to list the property on our MLS. But it's really simple. All we need to do is invest time and educate themselves and ourselves, realtors, in more important issues about listing a home, rather than focusing in what is the latest granite that is in style, the new trendy wall color, or hardwood floor finishes. What could be more sexy than talking about fiberglass insulation versus cellulose insulation, or the U-value of windows, right? So passing this home energy score policy will support efforts that will promote, number one, business growth. For those businesses like my business, which I can see several of my people that I know that have businesses here today, we employ people of our community. We'll promote long-term opportunities and family-supporting wages with benefits, better opportunity for skilled laborers. It will also promote and encourage consumers' awareness in energy efficiency, indoor air quality, health and safety issues in our community. It is our civil duty as residents of this amazing city of Portland, regardless of our professional background, to make our community better, and home energy scores will help do that. So I thank you, and I hope you for your support.
Thank you very much. Thank you all. So again, let's do a process check. I'm planning to break at 12:25, and what the question is, what time we would want to return?
Mayor, are we returning on this subject?
Or? Well, we'll see. I think we probably have heard most of the testimony that we're going to hear on this, but
I have some comments.
I know we're going to try to get a few more people in.
We
so.
Do. We do have a notice in the afternoon schedule, Mayor. We had that placeholder for comp plan.
We don't need it anymore.
Which we don't need. Right. So we could come back at 2 and pick up the regular agenda, or we could come back at 2, do the hearing, and at 3 pick up the regular agenda.
That's probably
tomorrow
right
is that. Thanksgiving, so we are going to lose people.
And we're not going to be meeting tomorrow.
No, I mean, we'll lose people later.
Today, yeah.
People are going to be leaving early to get to travel today. So my preference would be that we take a skinnier lunch and come back and finish the regular agenda so that by 2 we can hit the hearing and be done.
Okay, so maybe just break from 12:30 to 1.
How many still want to testify?
Yeah, okay, we're not going to make it to 12:30. I have to leave at 12:30.
Well,
but
can we go to 1 minute?
All right. So the one option is go to 1, but
one
it's
minute.
Just the three of you without me. You want to do that?
Yeah.
All right. So
people have already waited a very long time.
Okay. What we'll go, if we got 3 members of the council that are willing to continue to 1 o'clock, let's do that, and then we'll break, and I will have to leave at 12:30.
And then when do you want to resume the regular agenda?
I think you're right about taking up the regular agenda at 3 p.m. after the 2 o'clock times, or immediately following the 2 o'clock time certain.
Okay.
How's that sound? That sound good? Okay. So we will continue hearing people. Again, my apologies. I will be leaving briefly for half an hour. From 12:30 to 1, but let's go on.
And Mayor, can I also just say, if we're moving to 1 minute, we often find that people who have 3 minutes can say the same thing succinctly in 2 minutes. We've also found people who have 2 minutes can speak succinctly in 1. Well, we have to accommodate a lot of people today, and the point is,
please do not interrupt.
Please do not interrupt. The thing that's most useful for us, we don't make decisions based on 100 people testified this way, 60 people testified. What we're looking for is arguments that maybe haven't been raised. So don't feel that if you need to repeat the same mantra, because we're smart enough to understand that the 10th time we've heard that theme. But if you have a new argument that you think hasn't been raised that you want us to grapple with, please frame that, because then we have a chance with staff later to come back and say, give us some feedback on that. So we particularly appreciate new issues that haven't been raised, because that informs our decision making.
Thank you. Let's go forward.
Next, I have Jeff Cole, John Morris, Robert Hammerly, followed by Diana McCready, James Waters, Kelly Hartnett.
Good morning, or good afternoon. Welcome.
Morning.
Go ahead.
Good morning.
I'd like to go first.
Okay. My name is John Morris.
So we're going to 1 minute?
We're going to try to go to 1 minute. Please try to be succinct, everybody.
Okay, my name is John Morris, and I'm a Northeast homeowner and a small business owner here in Portland. I'm here representing the Northwest Energy Efficiency Council. We represent a number of businesses that do energy efficiency work in Portland. The council supports a proposed action by the City of Portland to institute a mandatory energy asset scoring system for residential properties. NEAC is a nonprofit industry association, just to make sure it's clear. There's no more time-honored business principle that you can't manage what you don't measure. This is particularly true when it comes to building energy use. Energy performance metrics help make the otherwise invisible concept of energy use and make it apparent and actionable. As a longtime proponent of energy benchmarking and disclosure, which has been successfully adopted and implemented by the City of Portland, NEAC believes that a similar system will provide widespread benefit when applied to the residential housing stock. I'll conclude with a comment that I've been doing energy awareness for consumers for 12 years. They spend about 18 minutes on average per year on their utility bill. This bill will help them.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council members.
Just give us your name again.
Robert Hammerly. I operate a heating and cooling company here in Portland. And the 3 points I want to make are: one, I want to attest to the volume of new home buyers who are floored by their unexpected heating bills in their first year of the home. We've had some homeowners attest to that today, and we get scores of these calls every winter. And a lot of times it's a true financial impact that they might not be able to make their mortgage payment because of the unexpected heating bill. Second, I want to counter the argument made by the Realtor Association and the mortgage broker. Basically, when you boil their argument down, it's public information is bad because it might gum up the works. And I think if you gave them the opportunity, they would probably want to throw home inspections out the window as well, because that might gum up the works of the transaction. And then three, volume. I've heard an argument that there's not enough people out there to perform these scores. Our organization has presently approximately 10 individuals certified to do these scores, and we would be happy if we get a market signal to invest and grow a division of more people doing these scores.
Thank you. Thank you both very much. Thank you. Next.
Diana McCready, James Waters, Kerry Hartnett.
Maybe two more.
Daniel Moreau, Paul Grove.
Sorry. Okay, that's fine. Come on up. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Kerry Hartnett, 2017 President of the Portland Metropolitan Association of Realtors. I serve on the Green Advisory Board at the National Association of Realtors, and I also hold the Earth Advantage Broker Certification. I have 12 years of experience in real estate as a licensee. I'm a proud single mother of a 16-year-old at Benson High School and a homeowner in Northeast Portland. I'm offering this testimony in opposition of the pre-listing home energy score proposal on behalf of our 8,000 members. We definitely support the goal of reducing carbon emissions, absolutely. Every day, though, home sellers struggle to sell what is often their largest financial asset, and home buyers are stretching to make the down payment and closing costs. If the city adopts this proposed mandate, you'll be adding an additional burden to the seller, and in some circumstances, unnecessarily. As you've heard, this information is similarly found on the inspection report that we personally, I always recommend. The proposal requires settles to pay for energy audit score before they can list their home on private for their private property. This is private property for sale to the city. We already know that it's going to be published or proposed to be published on websites such as Portland Maps. This is intrusive. In addition, by publicly posting the score, 35% of Portland's single-family homes built before 1940 will be disadvantaged because of the score that will be lower than a newer property. The city's goal is to reduce carbon. If the city's goal is to reduce carbon emissions, I encourage you to incentivize homeowners to make energy efficiency improvements to their home rather than mandating an unnecessary piece of paper that will not do that. On behalf of our members at PMAR, I encourage you to reject the proposal in front of you. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Morning. Nick Crowder. I'm a broker with Keller Williams Real Estate and a resident of Portland for I've been in brokerage for 10 years. The thing that I see that's frustrating is that this is a right to know. I see these stickers everywhere. Buyers right now and for my whole career could get the utility bills and know the exact cost of what the previous owner was paying to operate the utilities in the home. So this information is known in very specific form, not in an abstract of a score, because the score doesn't tell you exactly what you're going to be paying. I can tell you after helping 500 people in my career buy or sell real estate in Portland that unfortunately this is not part of the buying decision for 99% of the people. And I'm saying that from my experience as one of the top brokers in this town. If the buyers wanted to know and there was a financial incentive to have a public record of this as a incentive to a buyer to buy that house over a different one, sellers would already be doing this on their own and promoting this as part of their marketing of their home, and that simply isn't happening. It also bothers me that this could cause delays. We hear a lot about that it's only $200, but right now we're experiencing huge increase in costs on appraisals because we do not have enough appraisers to keep up with our market. And I expect that exact same thing to happen with this program. Again, with Carrie, I suggest that why don't we incentivize all of the people of Portland to create more efficient homes as opposed to punishing the people that are trying to sell their homes today. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Grove won't take offense, but I have to leave.
No offense, Mayor Hales, members of council. For the record, Paul Grove with the Portland Home Builders Association. I will heed your advice. I will be brief. We have submitted written remarks. You can read at your leisure. And testimony has already been discussed today about exempting new housing. Our sustainability manager will also be testifying to this as to the reason why. Appreciate staff's effort in this. I appreciate the spirit from which they are coming on the proposal and taking the time to discuss this over the summer. So with that, I will conclude. Thank you.
Well, I have a quick question for you. In the report that we got, it says that BPS considered exempting new construction homes from the legislation. It goes on to say that, however, after research and energy costs, the Bureau found that energy costs can vary significantly between a code-built new home and a high-performance new home, and this demonstrates there's still need for disclosure of energy efficiency, even in new homes. How do you respond to that?
Mr. Fish, I probably am not in a position to give you an answer today, but when our sustainability manager comes up, and she has worked closely with this, with our Home Performance Council, who build and meet and exceed this, I think she could provide you a better, more detailed answer to that.
Or we accept something in writing after that.
And we certainly can follow up in writing.
Okay, thank you all.
Thank you.
Next three.
Next three, please. Don McOdrum, Ron McDowell, and Danny Kelly.
Okay, I don't see anybody coming to the table. You got? Want to try the next three, sir? Oh, we got one.
Next two.
So I just got a message on behalf of the pro side that we're going to. We've organized amongst ourselves to limit the number of testifiers so that we can expedite through this and avoid repetition.
Okay. How about one more name, Sue?
Holly Brown.
Okay. Well, great. Welcome. Just give us your name, and you each have 1 minute, and there's a clock in front of you there.
Hi, I'm Jana Gastelum, Climate Program Director at the Oregon Environmental Council. I wanted to answer a couple of things that have come up. We bought a home 3 years ago, and despite knowing about what energy scores are and having a realtor who also supported them, I asked for one during the process and was told I could not get one because it was a very competitive market. It was a seller's market, and as a buyer, I couldn't get a score because it was an extra, something additional, and it would have made our offer, made our bid less competitive. So I was declined this information. So I'm still facing child care costs and have to do monthly budgeting, so I did call the utilities to try and get a sense of what those costs would be, but I have no way of knowing if that's based on occupant use or the home performance of a building. I'm now facing, this next year, $30,000 of child care costs, and so monthly bills really do make a difference. An asset rating provides good information that you can make sound financial decisions on, and without a mandatory score that includes all houses, you can't do that cost comparison. And lastly, on the climate, any action that can be taken has cumulative impact when it comes to energy efficiency. If we had had information up front, we could make home improvements early on. That makes a tremendous difference for the climate. And so those little things do add up over time. So I urge support of this. Thank you.
Thank you. Ma'am?
Hi there, I'm Hillary Barassa, and I'm a realtor in Portland. I do most of my residential real estate in Portland. I do not believe that I've been spoken for yet today, even though there's been some numbers thrown around for large numbers of realtors. I believe that Portland is such a leader, and this is something that makes me so proud to be a part of. I've watched this group put together this policy with tons of thought. They've taken a lot of the feedback. I urge all the realtors who are opposed to this to continue to speak your voice because they've been so positive in incorporating those concerns. I think that we have to base the decision on facts, and the facts seem to show that it's going to help us get to where we want to be with our climate change goals in Portland. I personally have done hundreds of transactions in this city, and I've never had an appraiser look on Portland maps and come back and create a problem with the transaction with something that they found there. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Ma'am?
Thank you. Good morning. Afternoon. My name is Holly Braun, and I represent Northwest Natural. We are strongly in support of this policy as a mechanism to help transform the residential energy efficiency market. As a utility, we seek least-cost energy resources to keep rates down for our customers. The current voluntary offering is excellent, all the incentives we have today that have been spoken about, but they only appeal to the innovators and early adopters in the market transformation paradigm. This 2% of the market requires expensive incentives in order to act on energy efficiency, but a policy like this that is intuitive, educational, and really level-setting has the potential to truly transform the understanding of the home residential market. I think in time this would nullify the need for expensive incentives. This program will potentially save ratepayers millions of dollars and dramatically more and save dramatically more energy than we do today by creating market demand for high-performing homes. This policy is a natural next step in the market transformation paradigm, and we urge you to support it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Next three.
Daniel Moreau, Caitlin Horsey, Laura Kovac. Chris.
I see one person coming up.
Keep going.
We got
Chris, yeah. And Philip Mandel. Are they here?
Keep going.
Keep going, yeah.
And then Ann Rose Shapiro, Rio Marquez Hammett, Craig Acker.
Okay, how about keep
Janet
going.
Gastelum?
I think she just testified. So we need one more name.
Hillary Barassa?
Yeah, she just testified.
Okay, I'm sorry, I couldn't keep up with the names. Faith Graham.
How about who raise your hand
here
if you haven't testified? All right, ma'am, why don't you come forward? We'll just start bringing people forward. Go ahead.
Yeah, one.
Thank
one,
you.
Yeah, come on up. We'll start with you in the middle since you were here first.
Okay.
Just give us your name and you have a minute.
Okay. Hi, I'm Caitlin Horsley. I'm with the Portland Home Builders Association. I am our sustainability manager. As Paul let you know, I'd be coming up here. As the sustainability manager, I work closely with our Home Performance Council, and our mission is to foster sustainable building knowledge, education, and application in this industry and within our membership as well. We definitely, as a group, have had some robust conversations around this, and we applaud your